Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we continue reading from 10th canto, chapter 3, text 25, the birth of Lord Krishna. Naste loke dvi paradavan vasane. Naste loke dvi paradavanasane. Mahabhute svadi bhutam gateshu. Vyakte vyaktam kalave jenayate. Bhavane kaha sisyate sesha samgyana. So anyone knows the proper cadence for this shloka?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Naste, after the annihilation, loke, of the cosmic manifestation, dvi parada avasane, after millions and millions of years, the life of Brahma, mahabhuteshu, when the five primary elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether, adibhutam gateshu, enter within the subtle elements of sense perception, vyakte, when everything manifested, avyaktam, into the unmanifested, kala vejena, by the force of time, yate, enters, bhavan, your lordship, ekaha, only one, sisyate, remains, Ashesha Samgyaha, the same one with different names. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. After millions of years, at the time of cosmic annihilation, when everything manifested and unmanifested is annihilated by the force of time, the five gross elements enter into the subtle conception, and the manifested categories enter into the unmanifested substance. At that time, you alone remain, and you are known as Anantaseshanaga. Purport. At the time of annihilation, the five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, enter into the mind, intelligence, and false ego, ahankara. And the entire cosmic manifestation enters into the spiritual energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone remains as the origin of everything. The Lord is therefore known as Seshanaga, as Adi Purusha, and by many other names. Devaki therefore prayed, after many millions of years, when Lord Brahma comes to the end of his life, the annihilation of the cosmic manifestation takes place. At that time, the five elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether, enter into the Mahatattva. The Mahatattva again enters by the force of time into the non-manifested total material energy. The total material energy enters into the energetic pradana, and the pradana enters into you. Therefore, after the annihilation of the whole cosmic manifestation, you alone remain with your transcendental name, form, quality, and paraphernalia. Quote, "My Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you are the director of the unmanifested total energy and the ultimate reservoir of the material energy. My Lord, the whole cosmic manifestation is under the influence of time, beginning from the moment up to the duration of the year. All act under your direction. You are the original director of everything and the reservoir of all potent energies." I'll read the translation. You can repeat. After millions of years, at the time of cosmic annihilation, when everything, manifested and unmanifested, is annihilated by the force of time, the five gross elements enter into the subtle conception, and the manifested categories enter into the unmanifested substance. At that time, you alone remain, and you are known as Anantasesha Naga. Any questions? So many nice prayers are being given by Devaki over the last days and over the last weeks. So many prayers by Vasudev, Devaki. I knew I was giving class for the last few days. It always is there in my mind. This morning, when I got up for Mangal Arti, before I got up this morning, which is very unusual for me, this verse popped in my head. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. For me, this is not a normal thing. If you've listened to me over the course of time or know me a little bit, I'm not a Sanskritist at all. I don't know many verses. The only reason this verse came into my head, of course, was because of Srila Prabhupada. Just sitting there, someone asked me the other day how many massages I gave Srila Prabhupada. So I had to do a little math, and I figured in the daytime, of course it was daytime massage and there was evening massage, so it was about, during the day, about 800 massages that I gave Srila Prabhupada. And in the evening, again, about 800 massages. But that also means, somehow or other, I was sitting there about 800 times as Prabhupada gave a class. And again, I didn't study. I knew a few verses from early on when I came to the temple. Dehi nosmin jita dehe, sarva dharman paritya ja. Verses like this, I knew the basic things, but that was about it. But just by sitting, trying to pay attention, trying to focus, these other verses, sometimes they, even to this day, they pop into my head. So this was, of course, a very appropriate verse for what we've been studying for the last many weeks, what we've been reading about, Krishna's appearance. And he appears, as Prabhupada says in the purport to that verse, at his own sweet will. All these things are mentioned, he says, but neither is he required to appear, because he does it whenever he likes, and he can appear at any time. In the purport, he says, besides his own appearance, the Supreme Personality, he can also appear as his son. We can see a reference maybe to Jesus there. That's in the Western world, this is a big thing, huh? In so many countries, the Son of God. You know, this I heard every day growing up, going to Catholic school. Jesus, the Son of God, you know. So Prabhupada mentions he can appear as his son. He says, and he can appear as his servant. Or he said, and sometimes he can even appear in disguise. So I'm thinking about this, of course, just like we know Lord Chaitanya, he appeared. But Krishna, he's always appearing. And when Prabhupada was here, just like he manifests Krishna, every moment, I mean, very specifically as the deities traveling around the world, going to so many temples, installing the deities. I was there for a few installations, maybe half dozen or more. I was there at Bhaktivedanta Manor when he installed the deities there, Radha Gokulananda. And there in Paris, of course we know he, just like in London, he installed Radha Londoneshwara, the controller of London. And in Paris he installed Radha Parashishwara. So that was in September of 1973. Prabhupada was there for 1 week. And fortunately we have a video of that as well. You can see Prabhupada there. And it was many months later, here, in, I guess, 1974, when finally there was an article in the BTG, also the appearance, Krishna's appearing there, and Prabhupada's back to Godhead. But Prabhupada was sitting in his room right here, and that was another thing, how Krishna would appear so often while I was with Prabhupada. One of the big appearances of Krishna was Prabhupada's books. Whenever a new book would come, they would immediately airmail very first edition to Srila Prabhupada. And you can see photographs of that as well. Prabhupada would be looking at his book, such happiness, such pride. And whoever was around, we would all just surround Prabhupada, just feeding off of Prabhupada's ecstasy as he would look at another incarnation of Krishna. Boom, right there on his desk. Something he would work so hard for every morning. And there the book would be there. Prabhupada would be so happy because it was Krishna. We have these marathons to emphasize how important book distribution is. It's why it's so important. As you read this morning, from the book this morning, Prabhupada said, and he said it to me personally, just one line. He said, if you read, he told me again, he knew I wasn't reading enough, never reading enough. We can't read too much Prabhupada's books, because he said, Prabhupada's in every word. So when he sees these books, he saw that Krishna's appearance, Krishna's again appearing, and the possibility of saving humanity was there in every book that was printed. Huh? He said small book, medium book, big book, didn't matter. It would go on someone's shelf, and eventually they might turn to that book. We all know so many stories. But I remember when, here in Vrindavan, when he got the BTG magazine. And of course, again, he would go through every page of the Back to Godhead magazine, which he created in 1944. And then there was an article on the installation of the deities in Paris, Sri Sri Radha Paris, Radha Parashishwari. And Prabhupada looked at the photographs, and there was one photograph, and you see the deities, and then you see Prabhupada, and he said, just see, he said, I'm looking at Krishna, and Krishna is looking at me. And he just had this look on his face. Who could say such a thing? Maybe we could say it, but it wouldn't have the same effect. but you understood Prabhupada's ecstasy in seeing he brought Krishna everywhere. When Krishna appeared here, we hear these prayers being offered. But Prabhupada understood everywhere he was going, and we know he's most confidential servant of Krishna, to be able to do the service that he did. He understood so completely. At that time as well, I just read a little story. Jamuna, her disappearance day is coming up very soon, 9 years. And she was one of the first devotees to come to Vrindavan. Her and Guru Das, they came together, stayed at Radha Damodar Temple, where I stayed there with Prabhupada as well during Kartik. And so that was 1972. I believe she came, what, 1970 or 71? Anyway, somewhere in there. And she writes very honestly and frankly. She said she was 1974. It's when Prabhupada was here in September. He got very, very ill. It was a struggle for everyone at that time. And at the same time, the construction was going on in full force. You can imagine, you know, sometimes this little construction goes on here in the temple, when we put in the new rooms over there, you always hear the tick, 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 tick. You can intensify that 100 times. So many masons, so many mysteries, hammering, banging, chiseling. That's what was going on while Prabhupada lived here. So that was happening at that time, in 74. So she writes how she had pulled back from her service. She said she was having difficulties. She was at a spiritual low point, she said. And she realized that she needed to increase her chanting. See, this is a devotee. When you're having struggle, you figure out, what do I need to do? You know, how can I solve this? Again, become enthusiastic in my service. So she decided to go more deeply into her chanting and her hearing of her japa. And then, Jai Shishi Gur Nitai Krishna Balaram Radha Shama Sundar Valita Vishaka Ki Jai. And she did that. She increased. She was chanting more, doing her japa, and she was getting ready to leave Vrindavan for some time. So she went before Srila Prabhupada in the beginning of October. Prabhupada himself had just recovered from very serious illness. So she went into his room. As soon as she walked into the room, she didn't even say anything. Prabhupada looked at her. Only Prabhupada could say these things. He looked at her, he said, "Oh, you look so beautiful." He said, "You're chanting Hare Krishna very nicely." He just understood immediately. And this is what Krishna appears, this is what the pure devotee comes, the servants. They come only to enthuse us in our Krishna consciousness. It's said there's one line, I believe it's in the Bhagavatam. It says, the words of the pure devotee, it said they're touched with the saffron dust of Krishna. And just those words spoken, one can become Krishna conscious just by hearing the words from the pure devotee. So it was after that, sometime after that, I believe it was in May 1975, and I was with Srila Prabhupada at that time. It was right after the installation of their lordships here. And I probably told that before, Prabhupada had been, again, Prabhupada struggled with his health through the years. He told the one Indian man, he said, from the time, he said, I went to America, he said, I've never been healthy. So he said for 10 years, he said his health was never good. Even my being with him, I never perceived that as a continual daily thing, because he was transcendental to all of it. Couldn't understand the principle, he would say, by performing devotional service, you never get tired. He said, you become more enthusiastic. So anyway, at that time, he was invited to this outing. We have Gita Jayanti coming up in a few days. So he was invited to Kurukshetra. And the way they invited him was they made him the president of this festival they were coordinating to bring unity and diversity. All the different religious groups in India were to be represented. And they wanted him to come. And since he was the president, they said he would speak last. So that was one of the times Prabhupada was deciding whether he should go, whether he shouldn't go. And he called in his men, all his senior men. He said, you discuss, should I go? And then during one of those 800 or so massages, he said to me, Shrutakirti, he would say, Shrutakirti, what do you think? Should I go? The song, should I go or should I stay? And I knew Prabhupada. I didn't know Prabhupada, but I knew Prabhupada. I knew how he did things. That much I knew. And I just laughed and said, Prabhupada, you'll go. It's an opportunity to preach. He couldn't refuse an opportunity for preaching. And he would always go, yes, you understand. And then later on in the day, when after they had all spoken, and he said, what is your conclusion? And they said, Prabhupada, you should stay and rest. That was the difference between being with Prabhupada and not being with Prabhupada. They didn't see that person. He couldn't stop him. He was unstoppable. He ran on different energy. He didn't run on bodily energy. He ran on spiritual energy. And he just shook his head. He said, no. He said, we'll go. So it was a chance to preach. So he left early in the morning. I think it's from here, maybe 4-hour drive or something to Kurukshetra. Maybe a little longer, a little less. Always stop once on the way for prasadam. And then he got there. It was a very big assembly. It was very organized, advertised. And myself and Brahmananda, we were together. He was Prabhupada's secretary at the time. I was servant. So we were all in the car together, the driver, Srila Prabhupada, and us too. So we get there and this ceremony kicks off. One person speaks. Was a monist, didn't speak even. You know, there are all different kinds of practices going on here. So he used the board to describe what he wanted to say. Then they had a Jain. I remember, this was 1975. This is my first initiation into seeing the Jains with their masks on. And I thought, how funny, these people wearing masks. Now everyone is wearing masks, sometimes. So then one of them spoke, then they had your Shaivites, and the next one, and the next one. And I was sitting next to Prabhupada throughout this. We're sitting in chairs. So I also was in a chair, Prabhupada was in a chair. And you could see every minute that went by, him becoming more and more upset. Angry. I said there was only two times, because Prabhupada never liked. I did that once on a plane next to Prabhupada. My leg was going like, put his hand right on my, don't do that. Very bad. I didn't even ask why it was bad. I assumed it was bad. Just don't do it. But I saw Prabhupada do it. As a person was speaking, speaking all his Mayavadi nonsense and Prabhupada's legs going like, he just couldn't wait. Think if a lightning came and hit the man in the head, Prabhupada would have smiled. But that didn't happen. One after another, Prabhupada just sitting. The same thing he did when he was there with Cardinal Danielou in France. He was speaking his Catholic, he was Catholic cardinal, and he was talking to Prabhupada. They were having an exchange, and of course Prabhupada immediately, he felt no, Prabhupada wasn't shy, immediately started talking about you're killing the cow. It says, thou shalt not kill. And of course, you know, the cardinal started talking all his nonsense. Prabhupada spoke French one in his room. He went, he found the French language the most funny, I think. He said, so he was doing, the cardinal was doing his talking all kinds of nonsense, and Prabhupada's legs going. Each time he'd stop him at some point, say, the cow's your mother. Anyway, here in Kurukshetra, Prabhupada waited, I wouldn't say patiently, but impatiently waiting for his turn to conclude the ceremonies. And it was all in Hindi. Of course, myself, Brahmananda, we didn't understand Hindi, but we understood Sanskrit. You know, we could understand different things being said. And we understood a lot of what Prabhupada said, because he quoted from Bhagavad Gita. Very often, he was quoting Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya pabhavo. That's another verse I happen to know a little bit. Tesham satada yuktanam. He was going on and on, expressing Krishna's a person. And all you fools and rascals, none of you have accepted this. None of you even mentioned, he said, here in Kurukshetra, where Krishna appeared. Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra. He said, you don't even mention Krishna. He said, cheating religion, he quoted Bhagavatam. All cheaters. Prabhupada just told them all. He didn't try to be diplomatic. Now, there was no diplomacy when it came to Krishna, when it came to denying the Supreme Personality of God. And no diplomacy. And it was a short lecture, one of Prabhupada's shorter lectures. He spoke for 5 minutes or so. And then he just got up. He was didn't want anything to do with all these nonsense people. He said, you're not going to accomplish anything. He got up, walked to us, let's go. Got in the car, didn't stay for light prasadam. No, just leave this place, this nonsense place. We got in the car and he immediately looked at us. Did you understand what I said? Brahmananda said, well, Prabhupada, we could understand some. We could understand your speaking, your Sanskrit. Yes, he said, I told them all, rascals, fools and rascals. You'll never have any unity, he said. Never find unity. He said, you're denying Krishna. Sometimes Prabhupada would say that. You deny Krishna's eyes, his mouth, his arms, his legs. There's no person. Prabhupada always saw Krishna. What to speak of when he would look at the deity. I was reading, he said, yes, you can see stone. Stone can talk to you. That Krishna can talk to you. That Gurnatai, they can talk to you. You qualify yourself. Then I mentioned, then we're going back. So this was in May. And then there was a cyclone on the way back from Kurukshetra to Delhi. Big, big storm. Trees are falling down. It was just as if Prabhupada had called this big thing to happen. So that was Prabhupada's potency. Potency of Srila Prabhupada. I wanted to read a little something also today. I also wanted to say how much Prabhupada liked his Bhagavad Gita as it is. since we're stressing this coming up Bhagavad Gita as it is. This was also in 1973 and also relates to the beginning. Prabhupada would speak in his room every evening. Those of you who've been to the manor or seen the manor, big sitting room, like the sitting room here, maybe even bigger, little bigger, no furniture, just the white sheets on the floor. So every evening there'd be 20, 30 people, devotees in the temple, and also guests would come. And the Gita had just, as it is, with the index in the back, had just recently come out. And Prabhupada was just so happy for this Bhagavad Gita when he saw this Bhagavad Gita. And I would hear almost every night, I would sit there, not the Sanskrit editor, Prajumna, me. He'd have me sit there with the Bhagavad Gita in my hand, and he'd be preaching. Then he'd say a verse, find that verse. He would just give the first line of the verse. So then I had to go to the Bhagavad Gita, and I had to make sure I understood even the first word. As all you had to do was know the very first word of the verse, and you could go into the back of the Gita, and he'd say, read. So I'd read the verse, and he'd have me read the translation, and he'd have me read the purport. Imagine, it was the most wonderful thing. His books, he would be sitting there listening. Like he said, he would say, he would hear from his books, and he'd say, he was surprised how wonderful they were. At night when he did this translating, this trance, it was in trance. When you read these purport after purport, think of it, 1 o'clock in the morning, in a dark lit room with one little lamp, and he's doing all of this every night by himself, not writing down and not with a typewriter, but just speaking. Not a simple thing to do. Not like he could look back and see what he had just written down, and see what he just typed. It just flowed through him. Krishna just flowed through him. For us, for all of us, for all of us in the future. It was there at the manor. There are two times we know of. None of it's recorded. But we have two references. One of them is from Rameshwar Prabhu, who swears, he quotes Prabhupada saying. And the other one was there at the manor. When Prabhupada said, these are the law books. He would say so many, just like the lawyer. He doesn't just speak off the top of his head. He said, if you know law, everything they always reference to a previous case, something that happened. So that's your reference. And that means this is what you did then, so this is what we do now. And this is how Prabhupada would speak with authority from his Bhagavad Gita, from his Srimad Bhagavatam. Not that he just never, I think, perhaps, maybe. No, none of this. Prabhupada spoke with the authority of the Shastra. So we'd say, find that verse. And he would just sit there and listen himself. As I said, he would read every day. We just posted, or maybe posted a little article. I wrote a little something. It was after Kartik. I was saying how wonderful it was to be with Srila Prabhupada, to be with him 24 hours a day. We would see all the devotees, we would get to see Prabhupada at class, greeting the deities on the morning walk, or even in darshan in his room. But he had his service. It was his service to his Guru Maharaj, his disciples, training his disciples, chastising his disciples, teaching them his books. In the middle of the night, while we were all sleeping, Prabhupada was doing this amazing translation work, giving his commentaries, referencing from previous acharyas. But there were so many hours of the day. in the afternoon, in the early evening. Prabhupada was just alone in his room. I would go in and out. Sometimes if he rang the bell, sometimes if he didn't ring the bell, I just had different things I would be doing, cleaning this, doing that. And he would just be walking around, chanting japa, very quietly. You'd see him reading his books. My favorite time, as I say, was when I would hear the harmonium from the servants' quarters. He would just be sitting on the floor, playing harmonium, and start chanting bhajans. And that happens, sometimes it would happen. And as soon as I heard the harmonium, I would go into his room, and I'd offer obeisances, and he'd just go. And that meant, go ahead, you can get the cartels. Because then I would just sit. I didn't even know any of what he was chanting. I didn't know any of it. But I would just play cartels along with him as he would chant. Then he'd finish. But one time also was Bhaktivedanta Manor. Servant's room was across from Prabhupada's room. It's amazing you could even hear Prabhupada in the room. There was a lot of separation and soundproofing that was there. But you'd hear the harmonium. So I went in and he chanted and chanted. Just like we hear on these tapes, I would say tapes, whatever we hear it on now. And then when he finished, I said, Prabhupada, I said, I said, so silly. I said, Prabhupada, no one chants like you. He said, I have my own style. That was his response. What I said was very silly, immature, but it was sincere. He said, I have my own style. So that was Prabhupada. And that style is always educating us. Those moments of him in his room, hours, sometimes hours and hours a day, you saw that other side. He wasn't a temple manager, wasn't a sannyasi, not even a disciple. He was just a lover of Krishna. You just saw that devotee. He was a devotee of Krishna, as he was his whole life. From the beginning, he was worshiping the deities, we know. And he said, everything I'm showing you, I've been doing my whole life. Nothing. He said, I haven't added anything. The thing that he added, it was his pride, was the books, the translation work. That was the order from his spiritual master. So if everything he took that most pride in producing these books and having his disciples help him produce and, of course, distribute. Because every book is another incarnation of Krishna. Every copy of every book, not just handing out some piece of literature. You're giving people Krishna right in their hands. And if you get a donation, it makes it that much better. They've given something. They're getting Krishna, and they're giving something. Once somebody, they wanted Prabhupada to sign. They do that sometimes. You come here, you give a class, and they're not even a book. They just have a ledger pad or something. Say, please sign. So they did that with the Prabhupada. You know, could you put your signature? Prabhupada said, buy a book. He said, I'll sign the book. So Prabhupada, he was also the biggest book distributor. He was always, anything we do, any book you distribute, it's by Prabhupada's mercy as well. Everything we do is just the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. I'm going to read one other little thing. And this is, it's very sweet. Let me see. This is a letter to Kirtanananda. And this is 1967. And Prabhupada says in this letter, I think some of you, like yourself, Satsarup, Brahmananda, and Mukunda, Gargamuni, Achyutananda, all of you had already cultivated this Krishna consciousness in your past lives. Now, Lord Chaitanya wants that this movement should be spread in the Western countries. So most probably in your previous births, you were all Indians and cultivated this Krishna consciousness. Now Lord Chaitanya has placed you in the western part of the world so that you can now combine together and broadcast the holy message all over the world. So that was 1967. So 10 years later, he's on a morning walk in Mayapur. And he says, he's speaking to someone. He said, previously they were advanced, all of you. You're simply born because the mission was to be started. Just like in Yaduvamsa, family lineage. Krishna ordered all the devotee demigods to go and take birth there to help me. Similarly, you were born in Europe, America, to help this. Otherwise, you were devotees in your past lives. Anyway, whatever it may be is very sweet, very encouraging. But what it shows is how we all have to cooperate together, not be affected by this skin disease. Prabhupada called it the skin disease, huh? Thinking this birth is better than this birth. No, none of that is there. And ultimately we see some of these devotees that did join in the beginning. They're not ordinary. I don't see them as ordinary people. They definitely were placed there to help Srila Prabhupada, to help him start this society. And then from there, so much mercy was there for everyone. But it had to start with someone. So Prabhupada, in his humility, of course, he gives credit to his disciples. He says, all of you, you were all planted to spread this Krishna consciousness. So we have a few minutes left. Panchagoda, do you have a question? Or a comment?
So we've been hearing the last several purports about Krishna being the creator and material elements and how they, you know, he produces everything and everything merges together and the time element. So how important is it to understand the intricacies of material nature and how it works and how is that spiritually uplifting?
And Prabhupada said it's important in the sense that in order to love someone, you have to know them. You have to know. But he did say, when speaking about the universes, talking about the moon and the sun and how far away, he called us in the room, myself and Paramahamsa, one morning. I mentioned that, and he said how, now I'm convinced we never went to the moon, because he read in the Bhagavatam, it's further away than the sun. So he said, there's no question. He was always convinced, but that was because he saw this Shastric reference. But then he said, there's not a complete description of what's going on. He said, we're not interested in all these so much technicalities. He said, we just want to develop our love of Krishna. So whatever we require so that we can become attached to Krishna, that much we need to know. But, and Prabhupada also said, everything, he said, all these books are to bring you to the point of what? Chanting Hare Krishna. Just being, chanting Hare Krishna means being with Krishna, associating constantly with Krishna. Krishna, as we used to say back in those days, so many things, right? Krishna's dancing on your tongue. That's how we understood chanting japa. Krishna's dancing on your tongue. So that's the point of everything, is always to be dancing. Every walk was a dance, all talking was a song. That's the spiritual world. So this is what we want. So whatever we need to come to that platform to get rid of our doubts. Some people require much more than others. Some have a lot of questions, especially like we say when it comes to scientific principles. And I remember in those days when Fifth Canto came out, some people, you know, Prabhupada's servant left because Prabhupada said we didn't go to the moon. He couldn't accept it because he saw it on the television, you know. He knew it happened. Everybody said it happened. And he couldn't accept. Prabhupada said he left because of that. That's what he said to me. He said, you know, don't you leave. I said, no, Prabhupada, I won't.
Everyone says, no, it was all a big hoax.
Now everyone accepts it's a big hoax. Everything, you see, everything, we're being manipulated constantly by the material energy. So we're very fortunate. I was just thinking here, coming in this morning, as Prabhupada's walking around the perimeter, see all the security offering their respects as Prabhupada goes by. Where else in the world do we have this situation where everyone is Krishna conscious? Huh? Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness, you accept Krishna as the supreme, that's a devotee. Very simple. For us, of course, a discipline. Disciple, he said, disciple means discipline. But just one accepts, if one on the most simplest level, accepts Krishna as the supreme, he's a devotee. That's what Prabhupada said. If you can read one line and you can accept it, and people do, you know, people are wanting so much answers. And if they can just get that one thing, he said, their life perfect. Anyone else? Mataji? So imagine, Prabhupada said, the Indians took birth in the West to help spread this movement. And then he would tell us, if you don't finish your business, he said, then you can take birth in India. We all became frightened.
They didn't take birth, they're getting visas.
Yeah, now they get visas to go to the West. Can I speak about what was that?
How we give this love to the disciple or to the person who wants to
I still didn't catch it. Did you get that, Dharmatma?
Could you please give more details about how we give this love to his disciple when he spoke to somebody by the
Are you French?
Yeah.
I didn't offend you, did I, with my fufufu? That was Prabhupada.
Because we speak with more in the chest.
Yes.
From the chest.
It's very beautiful. Yes. I still don't quite understand the question, but it was about the site.
Explanation of
that, how should a Prabhupada deal with different disciples?
Expertly. Prabhupada dealt with everyone in a way that he made you feel very special. Whether he was chastising you or if he was encouraging you, praising you, whatever he did, he gave you full attention. It was another thing that I, even as a servant, I would marvel at how he was so kind to me. I was only there as servant, getting flown around the world, my ticket paid, everything paid for, to serve him. But he treated everyone with respect. You never felt anything other than that. You felt special. I always tell the story when it was a disciple of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. This was in the 90s. And he asked me at a class, did Prabhupada treat any of his disciples special? And he was certainly thinking of his spiritual master, because we all know the relationship Tamal Krishna Maharaj had with Prabhupada was very special. But when I had never been asked a question, but when I thought about it, and I said, yes, all of them. That's how we became devotees. We felt special. Many of us came to Krishna consciousness. We didn't feel very special in the material world. We were just getting tossed about, you know. In so many ways, we all kind of felt like orphans. within, we didn't know what to do. I didn't know why I was going to college when I finally joined, because I felt very lost. So as soon as I came in contact with devotees, immediately I felt a family. There was family there. They cared. And that's why it's very important. That's why I said, doesn't matter if Indian body, this body. No, we're all one family, one spiritual family. This birth doesn't mean anything. We're born here, born there. Not important. Prabhupada came for that very reason, to say everything's by qualification, not by birth. We have to become qualified. So he gave us that qualification because he cared. And because he cared, and he's teaching us how to care. Because we're all sons, daughters of Krishna. Everyone. And that's what the business of the pure devotee is, to bring that to us. So that's what we need to learn. That's the thing, to learn we all belong to Krishna. So whatever it takes to come to that platform, we've got to make that endeavor. And by reading his books, that can certainly be a very important. Prabhupada said daily read, as you know you do. So much is in there. Talked with a god sister yesterday. She said, I've read Nectar of Devotion 5 times. And all of a sudden I read something I never read before. She read it before, but she didn't see it in the same way. So realization is always coming by our surrender. All right. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.